Great time with family here. Hope you guys had a great Memorial Day. I know I did. Family, barbecue, and of course, golf, Sybil. You know how we do it.
That's all.
You was out there in that sun, man?
Hey, man, I wasn't picking cotton. Yeah, it was cold.
Well, when you put it like that, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Wear a big hat, put some sunscreen on, drink some water, and some off because the mosquitoes in Houston are no joke. Tom, last week we talked to Congresswoman Corinne Brown with regards to the Mercer Alexander case. That's the woman from Jacksonville who was sentenced to 20 years minimum in prison after an altercation with her husband. And Prosecutor Angela Corey, they were not particularly pleased with some comments made by Congresswoman Corinne Brown regarding the case. And so they reached out and said, we would love to talk about it. Joining us right now is Prosecutor Angela Corey. Good morning.
Good morning.
First and foremost, in this particular case, and the first question off the top is, why was she sentenced to 20 years in prison? Her family, I talked to Lincoln Alexander, her ex-husband, her father, as well, Raul, on my TV One show, and they said that a plea deal was offered. She was given 3 hours to accept the plea deal on a Friday. The trial started on Monday. Is that true or not?
That is not true. We had waived the minimum mandatory, which is one of the great things about our 1020 life law here in Florida, is we're allowed to look at all the facts and the prosecutor can exercise discretion. And in any case, she would have had all weekend to consider that plea. But my prosecutors made that offer to her lawyer well before the Friday before trial. We don't wait until the Friday before trial to make an offer. So that's not true. And I sure wish you would have a chance to talk to our victims, to Rico Gray Sr., to these two young boys who were fired at. Fired at them, and they ran for their lives. And nobody is talking about our victims except police and prosecutors.
Now, Rico said that, first of all, he initially said that he did physically assault her as well as the other women who he has had kids with. You told me that he only did that as a cover story for Marissa.
He did. She had moved back in with him when she got out on bond. There are pictures of them, and she was supposed to be staying away from him, pursuant to the judge's order when he released her on bond. She moved back in, and they were carrying on their relationship. They went to the Jacksonville Fair. There's a picture of the two of them and the baby. They went and took Christmas pictures, and he gave his deposition between August, she was on bond, and December when she hit him again and gave him a black eye and got arrested, and the bond got revoked. So there are thousands of people out there going, why wasn't she let out on bond? Well, she was, and she violated her conditions of bond and got rearrested.
Now, we were told that, first of all, in talking to Congresswoman Brown, as well as the family, the shot was fired into the ceiling. You say it was fired at the children.
It was fired directly at the living room. Rico Gray Sr. and his two sons, he had just told them, get dressed, we're out of here. And that's when she said words to the effect of, I got something for your ass, literally. And Roland was telling the kids to put their shoes on. They were in the living room. She goes through the kitchen, through the laundry room, into the garage, into her vehicle, into a glove compartment, gets her gun out. It's a semi-automatic. She comes back through the garage, through the laundry room, stands in the kitchen, points the gun directly in their direction. Now, thank God it went through it went through the wall just to the left, just to the right of the archway from the kitchen into the living room, but it came out on the other side, right where they were standing, and then it deflected into the ceiling.
But it was pointed at a wall, but was there proof?
No, it was pointed at them. It just happened to go into the wall. It was pointed right where they were standing. So that's why, and that's one of the reasons we could have charged attempted murder, if people wanted to say it was an overcharge. Attempted murder was in the realm of charges. But we reviewed this case very carefully, and we charged her with the lowest that we could, aggravated assault, with a firearm, with a discharge. And it is discharging the firearm at three human beings that is what got her the 20 years when the jury found her guilty and made that finding.
One of the issues I've taken exception with has been mandatory minimums on the federal level. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has been very outspoken about this, saying judges should have discretion as opposed to these mandatory laws. In the book, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, she lays out that this has been detrimental also to African-Americans in this prison system. Why does Florida have a mandatory minimum law as opposed to allowing judicial discretion?
Because the judges often don't know all of the facts when there is a plea. The prosecutor is the best person to have that discretion. I've exercised my discretion on numerous occasions in favor of women, men, whites, blacks. If people would do the research and talk about the truth, they would understand that discretion has been exercised on numerous occasions on behalf of African Americans, old men, young men, old women, young women. We do it all the time.
Why would you say the judge wouldn't have the facts of a plea bargain? I mean, isn't that the responsibility of a judge to have to find those facts?
Well, when a plea is entered, 9 times out of 10, limited facts come in to support the plea. If the prosecutor is willing to go ahead and reduce a 20-year minimum mandatory to a 3-year minimum mandatory, why would you put that in front of a judge who may give more time? What if the judge were to have given more than the 3 years I offered? Because he looked into the eyes of these two children like I did. And these two children and Rico Gray are very, very credible when they talk about what happened that day. And it's backed up by the 911 call Rico Gray Sr. made. And so, I mean, the judge could have given her more. He could have rejected the 3-year plea offer. But that's why we all sit down and we do. I met with Marissa Alexander and her lawyer and Rico and the kids well before we arrived at the decision of 3 years. She fired a gun at two young boys. African Americans, that seems to matter to some people. These two young boys, what are their lives worth? To me,
we got about 30 seconds left. What is the next step in this Trayvon Martin case? You're the prosecutor in that. When is it potentially going to trial?
Well, I mean, we don't know that yet. We have discovery to do. Florida's a very broad discovery state. We'll be doing that. But I certainly hope before people make up their mind about Marissa Alexander, they will look at our victims and listen to them. Thank you so much for having me. Okay.
Prosecutor Angela Corey, thanks so much.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Wow.